We begin the Kohen Dav Masech Tzivah Masdav Mem Vav. We begin on the bottom of Dav Mem Heyam Abayz, three lines up in the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues on a related discussion from the previous Dav, which was speaking about the halacha of an Eved of Yisrael regarding the requirements of Mila Tvila and certain mitzvahs that an Eved has like a woman, and thus regarding the elements that are related to Oibed Kechav. So the Gemara begins this new discussion, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gur Yamarav. If someone purchases a slave from a non-Jew, now what happens is that there's a certain requirement of, as we just said, to make an Eved of Yisrael, which means he actually has a requirement of mitzvahs, even though he's non-Jewish, but he's a slave now, but Jewish person, he has to keep mitzvahs, and included in that is that to become that Eved, he has to be immersed in the mikvah, because there's somewhat of a geirus over here. It's like a quasi-geirus that he becomes. It required a mitzvah as much as like a woman is. Now, however, what happened is that this slave that was being purchased from a non-Jew, he went and he preempted this process and he immersed himself in the mikvah for the intention of becoming a Jewish person. Meaning, just like a regular person, non-Jewish, that wants to become a ger, a convert, immerses himself in the mikvah as part of that process. Here, instead of having the tevilah for the purpose of becoming an eved, he goes and he says he's doing it for the purpose of becoming a ben chayrin, a regular Jewish person. And that Rav Chama Gurya says, Kona Atzma Mecharen, he has acquired himself, he's a full-fledged Jewish person, he's no more a slave, which was now just transferred to the Jewish person. Tosh Gemara asks Maitam, what's the reason for this? So we continue on top of Mevam and Aleph, and the reason is because, Oivei Kechavim Gufa LeKanele, you have to understand what the acquisitions were over here. The idol, the non-Jewish person himself, didn't own the body of this slave, as Gemara later on will explain, which is the term lohim koin mezeh, a non-Jew can't own the body of another non-Jew. Now, my dekonile, what he did own in that person, who the maknele Yisrael is, what he then sold to the Jewish person. Now, what did he own in him? Just the utility of him, not the body of him. And therefore, that's just like a lien, that's like a shibud. Meaning, you're indebted, your actions are indebted to me, but not your body. Now, v'kivin, they called them a tovel l'shem mecharim. And now, since he preempted now, when it was supposed to be transferred over to a Jewish person, and he's immersing himself in the mikvah for the purpose of becoming a Jewish person, afki l'shibude. This process of making himself a Jew went and excluded the lien that the owner has on the body of the slave. Again, because all that the Jewish person was getting here was what he bought from the non-Jew. A non-Jew can't own the body of another non-Jew. It's just the rights to it. Rights is what's called shibud. Now, there are certain elements that could remove the lien that there is on such properties. Because Rabbi says, there are three things that will exclude the object from the lien that's on it. First of them being hektish. For example, if someone makes his ox into what's called an apaitiki. Apaitiki is from the word paitehe koi, meaning that this is set aside for the loan that I own you. Now, he then went, although this was exclusively designated for what he owed that person, he then was makdashit, made it sanctified for the mizbech, which that acquires a kedushas haguf, the body becomes sanctified. That removes the original lien that was on that body of that ox. Whereas Rashi says, but if it was just a kedushas of bedek habayis, which is for the upkeep of the temple, which doesn't have physical sanctity, it just has monetary sanctity, that actually would not remove it, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Seirchin, that you just have to add a coin and then redeem it. But if it's a physical sanctity, that will remove it from the shibud. Second of them being, or chametz. Let's say if someone made his 10 loaves of bread, he made his chametz, as an apaitiki for a non-Jew, he said, look, I owe you money. These 10 breads, they're yours. They're a lien. They're designated for you. Now, if it's in the Jewish person's property and it gets 6 hours into Erev Pesach, the fact that it's now chametz removes the lien, because now this is a transit. This is something that happens to the physical body of the loaves of bread, that they become a dav ha'aser because they're chametz. That removes the shibur of the non-Jew. And now, since they're not literally his, it's just indebted to him. So it's in the Jew's property, and therefore he has to go ahead and get rid of it and burn it, because the fact that it's chametz will remove that shibud. And third of them being v'shichur, and that is if someone makes his slave as an apaitiki, again designated for his friend, and then he lets him go free, that is a shichur, and that removes the monetary value that was owed to the lender. And as the Gemara concludes, mafkin mede shibud, these three things removed from the shibud, and therefore the same element applies over here by geiris, where it's also kedushas haguf, where his that sanctity of the body, just like by hekdesh and just like by shichur, which then elevates him to a higher sanctity, that removes it from the shibud that's on it, and therefore, since the only thing this Jewish owner had was a shibud, because that's what he was buying, you only get from the seller what he has, his rights. His rights in another non-Jew is only a shibud, and therefore, if he goes and he jumps and he preempts it by being a shachar himself, by becoming a ger, then that removes, he might have to pay him the monetary value that the Jewish person lost, but he becomes a full-fledged Jew, and he's not the halachic status of an eved. Now that, the Gemara says, must Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda asks from the following Braisa. The Braisa brings Maisa Bibalaria Hagiyar. So a story with this woman, Bibalaria, that became a convert. Shekadmu Avadeo B'Tavla Fanawa. What happened was, is that when she was becoming Jewish in that process, her servants went and jumped, they preempted her, and they immersed for the intention of becoming Jewish before she got a chance to become a Giyaris herself. And then the story came in front of the sage, and they said, they went, and since they got there before, they were able to make themselves into Jewish people. Now the inference is, and it's only because they became gerim before she became Jewish, meaning when she was still non-Jewish. And as we said before, a non-Jew cannot own the body of another person, and specifically over here, where they're Jewish, they jumped forward, that will remove the shibud. But lachre aloi, that sounds like, but if it was after the fact, if she already was a giyaris, and that is she was considered a Jewish person, then you don't say that kana ever asma mechar, and that the slave will not acquire himself as a free person. It was only, as the story says, because it was lufneho, before she got a chance to tivle, to become Jewish, then they got and they jumped beforehand, because she's non-Jew, and non-Jew doesn't own the body. But if she would have done it already, lachreha, after she had immersed in the mikvah, when she's Jewish, it sounds like that then, their immersing in the mikvah would not have been able to preempt that, not like the halacha that we're quoting over here, that would work. So Amar Rava answers, then no, it's like we said before, but there's a slight difference what that price is highlighting. Lifaneha, those that it's brought down in that story of Bilaria, that they went and they immersed beforehand when she was still a non-Jewish, that's Bein Bistam. That's whether even just plain that they didn't specify that, oh, we're going to immerse ourselves to make ourselves Jewish. And Bein B'Mefurish, whether it was explicit, just the fact that they immersed beforehand, that immersion, which gave them sanctity, removes them from the status of the slave of a non-Jew. Because all a non-Jew has is the Shibud. By just immersing, that already sanctity already removes from the Shibud. But La'achreha, you're right, if it would have been after that she had already immersed herself in the mikvah, which would have made her Yisraelis, then b'mefurish in b'stam loy. Then it would only work, as is the case that we're discussing from Chama Bar Gurya Marav, that only if you say explicitly that, oh, I'm immersing in to go ahead and become a Jewish person. But if it wasn't specified, then that wouldn't work. And Rav Chama Bar Gurya Marav's halacha was talking about where the person goes and jumps beforehand and says he's immersing himself to become a Bechari, and that would work. The only thing that it's excluding from that story is b'stam. When you don't say anything, then it wouldn't have worked lacharehau. But if you say explicitly, it works even if it's being bought by a Jew, because again, those things will remove from shibud, and one of them being when you're becoming a ger. So if Eved is tivling and he says he's doing it l'shem Bechari, he becomes a free man. Now that, the Gemara qualifies Amrav Avya. He says, lo yishanu, we didn't teach this halacha, elu b'lekech menoi b'kechavim, as was the halacha b'chavim b'goria. Was talking about that case where a Jewish person was buying from a non-Jew, where again, as we said, the non-Jew only has not physical ownerships, but rather a lien on his actions. And therefore, since that's the only thing, so that's a shibud, so then the eved tiveling for a ger could remove that shibud. Aval oi b'kechavim gufeim, but a non-Jewish person himself, who sells himself to a Jewish person, then the Jewish person actually acquires the body of the non-Jew. Hence, as Rashi says, if the non-Jew would go ahead as he's becoming the slave of the Jewish person and say, I'm immersing myself for Ben Chayrin, he wouldn't be able to acquire himself as a Ben Chayrin because that halacha is only mafki from Shibud. But here where it's a physical ownership, that you cannot be removing with Hekdesh, Cham, and Shechur, or in this case, of Tavling, immersing yourself, L'Shem Chayrus. Just like it says, a pasuk in the Yikra, says, "Vegam mibnei hatoshavim hagar mimchem." Also, from the people that dwell, from the dwellers that live with you, mehem tiknu, from them you could purchase to have slaves. Now, the understanding of this is as follows: atam koinim mehem, you could purchase from them, velohim koinim mikem, but they cannot purchase from you. And third component is velohim koinim zem, is that they can't even purchase one from the other. It's only you from them, but not them from you, or even them from them. Now, the Gemara explains: velohim koinim mikem, when it says they cannot purchase from you, lamai, what does it mean that a non-Jew cannot go ahead and purchase the Jew? If it means to say, as a worker, meaning they can't own the rights of your work, meaning to buy you for that. Well, is that really true? That a non-Jew cannot purchase a Jew for not obviously not his physical ownership, but for his actions, for his work? But it says in the Pasuk, two psukim afterwards, it says there in the beginning of the Pasuk of Yikach HaFei Mem Zayin, it says, it ends up being that the dweller, this Ger Toysha that lives with you, will end up becoming wealthy. And actually your brother, a Jewish person, will become poor. And he'll be sold to the Ger Toysha. Or the Pasuk continues, Oili Eker, which is Mishpachas Ger, the family of the convert. Now, Amamar, and the Gemara elsewhere explains that, who's this Mishpachas Ger? Who's the family of the convert? Zeoi v'kachavim. Their family are not Ger. They're actually non-Jewish. And yet still we see that, as the Pasuk there clearly states, that v'nimka, he could be sold, l'mishpachas Ger. So you see that obviously that you could be sold to a non-Jew. So what does it mean that the non-Jew cannot purchase a Jew? Elav l'guf, it must be that toma, that they cannot purchase the body of a Jewish person. Now, and then that the Torah says, however, atem koinim mehem, but you could purchase from them, which obviously means afilagufa, even the physical ownership, because regarding Maisi Yadayim is where we see that they could purchase from the Jewish person. So it must be when we're saying they can't be, must be for the physical, but when it says that you could purchase from them, must be even a physical ownership. And therefore, again, as we said, in such a case where a non-Jew sells himself, not that you're purchasing from another non-Jew, there wouldn't help to utilize this technique of Rav Chama Bar Gurya, that to say that he's immersing himself in Lashem Geres, it wouldn't help. Now, however, Parach Rav Acha asks, however, still a question, because Eime B'Kaspo B'Tfila, maybe say that this, that it says in the Pasuk that you could purchase a non-Jew himself, even physical ownership, is only if with money and with immersion for the intention of making him into a slave. That's where the Torah says that you'll own his body. But if he goes beforehand, even though you purchased him, and he immerses to be a free man, maybe then he will be a free man. It's only that you own his body when you had the second variable of also having him first immersed l'shem abdus. And the Gemara concludes, Kasha, there's a difficulty how we can infer from that halacha that it wouldn't help for him to be terrible l'shem mechayrin, because you see you could purchase his body. Maybe that's only after you already immersed him l'shem abdus, not when he preempted and was immersed l'shem mechayrin. Now, so related to these halachas, Amar Shmuel says, so practically speaking, v'tzorch l'takva b'mayim, what you have to do is, when you're immersing this Eved to become this pseudo-Jew, because he has halachas like a yid, in the sense he has to keep the mitzvahs as a woman has. Now, that's not a full-fledged Jew, rather like a Jewish slave. So what you have to do is, you have to push him down. You have to put on him, as he's immersing the mikvah, some type of a yoke in the water, so that it's obvious that what is this tefillah? The immersion is to be a slave. And as Rashi explains, that's to preempt that even if he comes out saying, oh, you should just know when I immerse myself, I knew the trick, I immerse myself to be a free man, he's not going to acquire himself, because there's no substance to the words that you say. How can you say your immersion was to be a free man when you were immersing, you had some yoke on you? And therefore Shmuel says you have to push him down. You have to have some type of weight when he's immersing in the water. As the Gemara brings the following incident. Kihai diminyamin. There was this person in Minyamin that was Avdid Ravashi, was the slave of Ravashi. Boyulat Vuli, he wanted to immerse him, which was one of the halachas, for the halach of Yahadis to be an Eved, to be a slave, a slave of a Jew. Now, Master in the Halayul, Ravina, Ravacha, Breed Rava. So he gave over this job to Ravina and Ravacha, the son of Rava. And Amnu, he said to them, look, Chazu, you should see, Diminaichu Koboisele. I'm gonna come to you with my claim. If something goes wrong, in other words, if I end up hearing that he said he immersed himself in the Shem Mechayrin, which then makes him free and he's not my slave anymore, I'm going to come claiming to you. So what do they do? As we saw from the Halacha Shmuel, Romule arvisa bitzavre. They went and put a leash on his neck. Arpule bitzamtumule. They loosened it and yet tightened it. In other words, there was some type of a loop. And when they wanted to, then they would pull the end of the string and make it tight. And when they wouldn't pull, so then it was loose around the flesh, around his neck, as the Gemara explains. Arpale, the reason why they had it a little bit loose was that it shouldn't be interposition between his body, his flesh, and the water of the mikvah. But still they tighten it, that he shouldn't jump and say, ha, oh. And there was a moment when you had it loose that I went and I was doing it, because then there wasn't a yoke on me. So they always constantly had that pull to say, they made it tighter to show you're mercy now, l'shem avdis, not l'shem b'char. Moreover, Bahadi did li reishim imaya. At the time, at the moment when he was, his head was coming up over the water, antrole zulta detina, they went and they put a bucket full of cement, aresha, on his head, and they said to him, zilamti lebeimarch, go like this to your master's house, again, demonstrating clearly that this immersion was there for the purpose of avdis, not l'shem mecher. Related, the Gemara says, the amalei rapapa l'rava, says, chazi mar hani debei papa bar abba, look at the household of papa bar abba. The Yavi Zuzili Inchula Chargaya, what they do is that they give, they pay up people's taxes that they owe to the king. And then in that process, the people become indebted to them. And that is when people don't have money to pay the taxes to the king. What happens is that the appointees of the king take them and throw them in jail. Now, the household of Papa were wealthy. So what they did was is that they paid up the taxes to the king's coffers. And in that process, the people that didn't pay up, who they're paying for them, were purchased for them as slaves. Now, these slaves were non-Jewish people. Now, the question that the Gemara is posing is that a full acquisition as if one is buying a slave? And that is what the question ends up being, is that Kinafki, when they ultimately do leave his domain, Trichi Gita de Jerusalem, do they need a get shechur, which is what happens when a Jewish person buys as a slave a non-Jew who is some type of a Jewish status but not full-fledged? When he leaves, he needs to get shechur in the full Jew or not? Is this not considered as a full-fledged Kenyan because he paid up his taxes and therefore he becomes a slave to him? So he responded, it's good that you asked me this question. Ichu shechivi, were it to be that I had passed away, I would not have known to tell you this halacha that I know, because Hachem Rosh Hashanah, this Rav Shesha said, Marakayu dahani, the seal of these people, betavsa de malkamanach, is placed in the chest of the king. In other words, these people are slaves to the king. Umalkam, and the king says, mandalay of karga, whoever doesn't pay up his taxes, mishtabed laman, the of karga, is indebted, is sold as a slave to the one that does pay up his taxes, and therefore, what he was answering was that it is a sale, hence you need to get shechur if he wants to become a ger, to become a Jew, and then to be permitted in Bas Yisrael, because he was considered an eved to this person. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this topic about geris. Reb Chiya bar Abba iklo l'gavlo. Reb Chiya bar Abba went to Gavlo. Now he saw a few different things that they were doing wrong. Chazu b'nais Yisrael, the ma'abron migerim, he saw that there were Jewish women that were becoming impregnated from converts, Shemolah b'loy tablo, who were circumcised but had never immersed in the mikvah. Second thing is, b'chazu chamer di Yisrael, he saw the wine of the Jewish people, demazge ev kechavim b'shas Yisrael, that non-Jews were mixing the wine and diluting it, and the Jewish people were drinking it. And third of all, v'chazer turmasin deshalke erved kechav, he saw these turmasin beans, which were being stewed by the non-Jews, v'achli saw, and the Jewish people were eating it. V'lemelemelemide, he didn't tell them anything. Asa kamed Rabbi Yechanan, he came in front of Rabbi Yechanan. So Amalei Rabbi Yechanan said to him, what do you mean? Tzei v'hachriz al b'neim, on all three things, there's something wrong here. Go out and announce regarding their children, shem amzerim, that they're illegitimate children, and val yeinim shemiyin esach, that their wine is prohibited because it's the wine that was poured by a non-Jew, which is yain, which is forbidden wine. Val tumasim b'shul b'shul ev kechavim, regarding this tumas beans that were cooked by the non-Jews, that they're forbidden because Allah b'shul akim, they were cooked by a non-Jew. And the reason is lafisha in b'nei tayr, which Rashi explains, this is going on the case of the tumasim bean, that actually, as the Gemara will explain, there is no prohibition of b'shul akim on these tumasim beans. It's only because they're not b'nei tayr that go ahead and tell them that it's forbidden, and the reason is that they shouldn't degrade the halacha b'shul akim because they're not well-versed enough in halachas to know that this doesn't qualify for Beis Lakum, and therefore if they think, oh, well, I mean, the guy cooked this, the guy cooked that, oh, the rabbis this, and therefore say that it's going to be us for them because they're not B'nai Torah. And the Gemara explains why all three things Rabbi Yochanan held were wrong. Al B'nai and Shehim Amzeim, regarding their children, that they're considered illegitimate. Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his opinion. He says, La'olam ein ger, at Shehim al-Ve'etvol. A person is not considered a convert to the Jewish faith until he circumcises and he immerses in the mikveh. Now, but kivin delay tavel. So since these individuals didn't immerse in the mikveh, so they're considered non-Jewish. Now, that's a double regarding another opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan, he says, which he's considering them because they didn't immerse in the mikveh, the eved or his slave, that has relations with a Jewish woman, which is what was going on over here, Havlad Mamzer, he's from those opinions on the previous staff that hold that the child is a Mamzer. So based on his two opinions, he held the children are considered Mamzer. Now, and this that he said that he should tell them that their wine is forbidden because of Yain Nesach, although as Rashi points out, they didn't touch the wine. It was just the force of their weight that had an impact over here because of this that they were diluting it. Still, it's forbidden mishum because of the following concept that's called Lech Lech Amrin Nazir. We tell a Nazir, go away, go away. Schar Schar, go around, go around. Lekamali Sikrim, don't come close to the vineyard. In other words, even things that are not the actual prohibition, like drinking wine, which are forbidden for Nazir, we tell them, don't even come into the vineyard. Don't do things that are even related. And therefore, because of if they would touch the wine, it would be forbidden. Here, although they're not actually touching it, again, but based on that concept of Lech Lech Amrin Nazir, we say that even that's forbidden because of the fact that their kaich, their force, had some type of relationship with this wine. And Val Turmas and Mishum Bishula Ebikachavim, regarding the Turmas being that's forbidden because of the cook being cooked by a non-Jew, which is one of the Isurim, is Lefisha in the B'nai Torah, is because they're not B'nai Torah. Now, the Gemara asks, the inference is, Ha B'nai Torah Shari? What are you telling me that if they were B'nai Torah, they would learn the people that then it would be permitted? But Vam Rav Shmuel Bar Yisrael Mishmei Derav, he says, Kala Nechel Kamei Shruchai, anything that can be eaten in this raw state, well, there ain't but Mishum Bishula Ebikachavim, there is no halacha of being forbidden because it was cooked by a non-Jew, because it was already edible beforehand. But v'har tormis ein nechal kamei shulchai, the tormis means not edible in its raw state. And therefore, v'yesh b'mishum b'shulei v'kacham, therefore it does, should have, even for b'nei Torah, for anybody, it should be prohibited because of b'shulakam. And that the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yechon k'idach lishnei svirle. Rabbi Yechon held up the other version of what Rav had qualified in the halachas of b'shulakam. Dom, as it was said, that Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Mishmei Derav said a different version. Kol she'in oila al shulchan malachim, whatever is not brought on a table of royalty, that where a king is eating by, lechel b'yis ha'pas, to eat bread with it, ein bo mishum b'shul ha'bikachov, that will not qualify for the prohibition of bishul akam. And the turmis bean is not something that's oila al shulchan malachim, it's not such a respectable type of food. And therefore, the time and the reason why he said that it's us is the ain't b'nei Torah is because the b'nei Torah is not going to be able to discern the finer points of the halachas of bishul akam. So they would just tell them it's forbidden. A b'nei Torah, sure, actually, b'nei Torah would be permitted because since it's not oil shulchan malachim, it's not such an edible thing. It doesn't create the closeness, which is the reason why bishul akam is forbidden. And therefore, actually, it would be permitted. But for them, you should say that it's us. Nothing more continues on these halachas about the order of becoming a ger. So Torah, we learn the b'raisa. Ger Shemal V'loi Tavel, as we were just discussing this halacha, a convert that circumcised but didn't immerse in the mikvah. Shabbalah Zayimi says, Harez a ger. He's considered a convert. Shekem Etin and Babazin, because we find this by our fathers. Shemalu, that in the days of Moshe when they left Mitzrayim, left Egypt, that they had circumcised, but they didn't immerse in the mikvah, and still we find that they were no more considered B'nai Nayach, and they were able to go ahead and accept, receive the Torah, and to receive the Shekhinah by Matan Torah. And therefore you see, you could become a ger even just with circumcision. Tavav Leimal, if let's say there was just immersion and no circumcision, Shabbi Shua, he may say, Harei Zeger, that's also considered a full-fledged ger. Shekhem Etzina B'Mohis, because that's what we find by our mothers, meaning the wives of those, that generation that left Egypt. Shetavlu, were they immersed in the mikveh? As the Gemara later explained, because if they didn't immerse in the mikveh, with what did they become viable to be mekabel the bnei shchina? How did they become Jewish? And as we see, because of leimalu, they didn't circumcise. There's no circumcision for women, so must be that they had tefillah. And we see that just with tefillah, they were able to become Jewish people. But however, the Chacham Ma'im, they say no. Tavo v'lay mal, mal v'lay tavo. If you don't have both Mila and Tvila, ain gerat shema v'tolopo. You're not considered a convert until you have circumcision and immersion. Now, that the Gemara asks, regarding the first two opinions mentioned, Rabbi Shua Nami, Nelev Mi'avis. Rabbi Shua should learn like a Belaza and learn from the Avis that you don't need to have Tvila because all they had was circumcision. And Rabbi Lazar, Nami Nelev Mi'mais. Rabbi Lazar should learn like Rabbi Shua from our mothers where you don't need to have circumcision because all they had was Tvila. Now, the Gemara says, if you're going to say, let's say regarding Rabbi Lazar, that he can't learn like Rabbi Shua from the Imahis, that you don't need Mila, you don't need circumcision, because ain't done Efsh Mishi Efsh. You can't learn something that's possible from something that's not possible. In other words, a male is possible to have circumcision. Maybe a male needs to have Mila. Now, you're right, the Imahis, our mothers that left Egypt, didn't have circumcision. So because you can't, it's not feasible. That's why it's not a requirement. But if it is, then it would be necessary. Don't say that's the reason why Rabbi Lazar didn't learn like Rabbi Yeshua. Because the Tanya learned in the Brice that clearly says to Rabbi Lazar, hold your done in Efshem Mishi Efshem. As it says, Rabbi Lazar, he says, Minayin lePesach Daris, how do we know regarding future generations of Pesach, meaning every year, She'ain Ba'al Melachulim, and the carbon Pesach can only come from unconsecrated money, it can't come from something that's sanctified to buy the carbon Pesach. So he said, because Nema Pesach B'Mitzrayim, it talks about the carbon Pesach in Mitzrayim in Egypt, but Nema Pesach B'Daris, and there was a carbon Pesach for future generations, and we make a comparison. Ma Pesach Omer ben Mitzrayim, just like a carbon Pesach that was spoken about in Mitzrayim. Ein Boel ben Achulin only came from unconsecrated money, and as Rashi says, it obviously didn't come from Maaser Sheni, because there was no Maaser Sheni in those days before the Torah was given. So Av Pesach Omer L'Darius, so too Pesach comes in future generations. Ein Boel ben Achulin only comes from unconsecrated money. So only Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Lazar, V'chidon in Efshe Mishi Efshe, can you qualify something that's possible from something that's not possible? From Pesach Mitzrayim? The reason why the Pesach in Mitzrayim was not brought from Meisr was because it wasn't possible. Because there was no Meisr yet. But how can you prove that future generations also cannot be from Meisr? So Amalei, Rabbi Lazar responds to Rabbi Kiva, you're right, Ava Pishri Efshe, even though then it wasn't possible, but still Raya Gedolah, even though man, it's still a great proof, and we can learn from it, because that was the facts, and the facts are, you compare the facts, and therefore there it was from Mechulin, here it was also from Mechulin. But one thing we see is that he is done Efshe Mishri Efshe, and therefore the question is, why doesn't he say like Rabbi Yeshua, that you see that circumcision wasn't necessary, as we find by the women that they became Jewish, just by immersing themselves? So why does he say that, yes, you need to have tefillah, but you need to have Mila, but not Tvila. He should say, you shouldn't even need to have Mila, as we find by the Amoris. So Ella Rav, the Gemara says, we're continuing on Tamad Bey, is that you're right. Betav v'lay mal, regarding a case where someone immersed and didn't circumcise, kulam l'bligid mahani, everyone agrees that it would work. And even Rabbi Lazar would agree, just like we find by the Amoris, by the women that left Egypt, that all they had was Tvila, and that worked. Ki paligi b'mal v'lay tavl, their machlaikis is, regarding the first case that Rabbi Lazar had mentioned, when there's circumcision and not immersion. Rabbi Lazar Yalev Mi'avis. He learns from the Avis where all they had was Mila and not Tvila. Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua actually, but Avis not Tvila. He says, no, there actually was immersion in the mikvah for the Avis, for the ones that left Egypt, just like they had circumcision. To which the Gemara asks, Minale, where does he know this from? Obviously, not like Rabbi Lazar, who said there was no Tvila. So the Gemara says, Ilem, and if you're going to say it's from the Pasuk in Shemois that says, Leich la'am v'kadashim yemim acher, when it came time for Matan Torah for Shavuos, it said that Hashem told Moshe, go to the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and have them launder their clothing. Now, and you would make the following kalvachaymer. If in a place, for example, a regular Baal Keri, who has a seminal mission, where there's no requirement for him to wash his clothing, and yet he has to immerse himself in the mikvah, as it says in the pasuk, he washed himself in the water, and it doesn't say he has to wash his clothing. So Malkum Shatoin Kibis, a place where generally there are certain taharas requirements that require you to wash your clothing also, which are more stringent. So if by Matan Torah, when they receive the Torah, that they require to wash their clothing as the Pasuk said, V'chibsusim loisam, in a din Shatoin Tefila, isn't it obvious that they had the lower stage of immersing their bodies too? And therefore, that would be the proof that they had immersion in the mikvah too? But that the Gemara says, how do you know that? V'dilma, maybe actually this that they wash their clothing by Matan Torah, well, it had nothing to do with halachas of tumah to require tefillah for their bodies based on the kavachomer. Rather than the kis ba'alma, it was a cleanliness issue. Hashem told Moshe they should wash their clothing, that they should be white and proper to receive the Shekhinah, the divine presence. But who said has anything to do with the halachas of Tyra to say that they definitely immerse their bodies? See, El Mahocha, Rav, the Gemara says Rabbi Shua's raya was from this pasuk in Shemais. So the Yikach Moshe Asadam, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the blood, the Yizrik Alam, and he threw it on the people, which was they sprayed them with blood. The Gemiria, we have a tradition that Ein Hazah B'Lech Tefillah regarding any time that there's a purification process that has Hazah, that has spraying, that it has to come with an immersion, and therefore, since there was a spraying of the blood, must be there was a Tefillah, and that's why he says that it's not enough like a Belazah with just Mila, you have to have Mila and Tefillah. Or you could have just Tefillah, but it's not enough just to have Mila without Tefillah. Now, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shua, Tefillah b'mois menolim. As we alluded to this before on Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks, how does Rabbi Shua know that the mois had Tefillah, which he says that you have to have Tefillah? Mila you don't have to have, but at least Tefillah you have to have, as we find by the mois. Where do we find that? So the Gemara says, well, it's logic. Timkein, because if that would be the case that they didn't have immersion, with what would they have entered into this higher stage of being a Jewish person to receive the divine presence? Must be they did something, and therefore, since they cannot do circumcision, must be, although we don't have it documented, that they had immersed themselves in water. Now the Gemara brings lahalacha, a person is not considered a full-fledged Jew as a convert until he circumcises and immerses himself. The Gemara asks, Peshitta, what does Rabbi Yochanan come to teach us this halacha? We quoted this machlokes in Amud Aleph. We know that Yochav Rav Malacha Karabim. The Chachamim argued under Blazer Mishua and said, no, you need to have both. And we always know when individuals argue with the many, the halacha is like the many. So why does he have to tell us this? The Gemara answers, actually, Man Chacham, who is the sages that's mentioned in Amud Aleph? It's actually Rabbi Yisi, it's actually in an individual. And that's what he had to tell us, that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yisi. Kind of like Linda Bryce said, that it's Rabbi Yisi. Harisha Bava Amar, if someone comes and he says, Malti v'loy tevalti, I want to become Jewish, I already circumcised myself, but I didn't immerse in the mikveh yet. So that, the first opinion says, Matbila noisai, they immerse him in the mikveh to make him like a full-fledged Jew, and they don't have to investigate with witnesses to see if his circumcision was a valid circumcision, meaning that it was made for the purpose of having a mitzvah of Mila. And rather, they go ahead and they immerse him in the mikveh. And the reason is, because of Mabakach, what would the difference be anyway? Even if his circumcision was not for the purpose of the mitzvah mila, but since he's going to immerse himself in the mikvah, tefillah is enough. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that tefillah is enough. Rabbi Yasi says, no. Ein matpil. We don't just go ahead and immerse him in the mikvah to make him a Jew, because maybe he's an Arab who they circumcise themselves, or a Givani that they circumcise themselves. And therefore, the fact that he's circumcised is not enough. You would still have to do what's called hatafas dam bris, to drop some blood from the place of the circumcision, because Rabbi Yisi holds that you actually need to have both. So you can't just immerse himself and make him a Jew. You would first have to do the full-fledged circumcision, and then immerse him. And therefore we see that was the opinion of a Yochid, and that's why Rabbi Yochid has to tell us that the halacha follows like that opinion, which is that of Rabbi Yisi. Now, the Braisa concludes, regarding this machlekes Rabbi Yisi from Yehuda, lafikach, and therefore, since according to Yehuda, all you need to have is one of them, so matbilin ger, so he holds that you could immerse a convert bishabbos on Shabbos, and that is a ger that had, who not in the case of the previous case of the Braisa, where he said he circumcised himself, that he circumcised himself, he came to Bezdin was in the middle doing the process, they circumcised him, they didn't get a chance to do the tefillah at Shabbos. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, you're allowed to go ahead and have him immersed in the mikvah on Shabbos. And the reason is because to make him Jewish was enough with the circumcision. And therefore, when you're immersing him in the mikvah on Shabbos, you're not doing what's called tikkun gavra, fixing the person, which is, would be prohibited because you're not be masakin man, you're not fixing something on Shabbos. That's the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because according to him, you only need one. And since we already did the mila, so you can go ahead and immerse him on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yisim, he says that Eimachvilin, you're not allowed to immerse him on Shabbos because they hold you need to have both. So hence, even though Bezdin did the Mila on Friday, if it's already Shabbos now and he wants to be Jewish for Shabbos, it's too late because that's considered Tikkun Gavra, you're fixing him by doing the Tefillah because only that will make him a full-fledged Jew. Now the Gemara goes back to elaborate on this Bryce again, which was introduced just to illustrate that the opinion of that says you need to have Mila and Tefillah is actually not that of a Rabban, but actually that of a Biasim. So Amar Mah, the Bryce had said, Lefikach Matfilin Ger B'Shabbos, therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says you can immerse a ger on Shabbos. Now that the Gemara asks, Peshitta, why did the Braisa have to follow through with the second half of the Braisa? It's obvious. Kivan Rabbi Yehuda b'chad sagi, since Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough with one of them, you don't need to have mila and tevila. So hecha de mala fanena, he circumcised in front of us. We were doing the mila on Friday. Isn't it obvious that matbilim that you can immerse himself in mikvah on Shabbos? Therefore, mila fikach, what's the therefore? As if it's telling us somewhat of a chiddush. It's obvious from the fact that you already had, you're not being masakin on Shabbos. I think our answer is actually ma de tema. We would have thought to say that you maybe Rabbi Yehuda tefila ikar. Maybe you would think, because that's actually what the first half of the Braisa was talking about, that maybe the primary of the two is actually immersion in the mikvah, as we find like a Yeshua. Now that's what he said in the first half, that mabakach regarding mila. The person came and said, "I already circumcised myself." So he says, "Okay, we could make him and tevil him in the mikvah to make him Jewish, because even if it wasn't a good mila, it doesn't make a difference. All you need is tevila." But we would think it's not because he needs either one. We would think it's because tevila is the primary. Now, or tevila b'Shabbos lay, and therefore, maybe even according to Yehuda, you would not be able to do tevila on Shabbos, even if we did the mila for him, the komesak and gavra, because the primary is tevila, and thus you're making him fixed on Shabbos by making him Jewish. Kamashmol, that's what the second half of the Braisa teaches us. Yehuda ayha ayha boy. It's not that, as the first half was saying, which it ended up being that the tevila was the one that makes him Jewish. It's actually because it's either one, and therefore, if we did the circumcision, which we know that's for sure good, then you could tevil him on Shabbos, because that's not doing anything. He's already Jewish just because of the circumcision. Now, the Braisa continued and said, however, he says, and he says, no, you can't immerse him on Shabbos, even though we did the Mila on Friday, because you need to have both. And even though he did the Mila, the tefillah is going to be masakin him to make him Jewish. And I think Gemara asked Peshitta, that's also obvious. Kivan Amr Yisi tired to be in, and since Rabbi Yisi says you need to have both, well, obviously Tikkun Negav b'Shabbos lay masaknin, and I'll fix something, which in this case would be fixing the person on Shabbos but making him Jewish. So that's obvious. Why would we have to say that? And that the Gemara says Ma de Tema. Maybe you would have thought to say Rabbi Yisi Mila Iker. Maybe actually you could say based on the first half of the Braisa, Rabbi Yisi holds the primary is circumcision. V'hasam hu d'lo havi mila b'fenin, and the problem with the first half of the Braisa, when the guy comes and says, look, I already circumcised, I know you guys, the Bezin, didn't see, but I did. I'm coming, I want to become Jewish, I want you to immerse me in the mikvah. And that Rabbi Yisi says that, no, not because you need to have both, but because actually the primary is the mila. And therefore, we have to do that tavas dam bris. But this that he says, the imat vilin, is not because of that, because you need to have both, it's because the only one that we need is the mila, and that we don't know was done the right way. But where we did the circumcision on Friday, maybe you would say that you would immerse him in the mikvah on Shabbos, because that's not doing anything. The primary was the mila. That's the chiddush that the Bryce is concluding, saying that no, Rabbi Yisi needs both, and therefore even if we did the mila, still you can't tevil him on Shabbos, because that will be masakin him by making him a full-fledged Jew on Shabbos. The Gemara brings a story related to these halachas. That Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Uvdahava be Ribchia ba Rabbi. There was, or some have the gist of Biribi, that there was an incident that took place in the house of Ribchia ba Rabbi. Rabbi Yisi teaches that actually Ribchia ba Rabbi, that additionally, there was also Ribchia that was there with Ribchia. And Rabbi Safa Masna, he actually teaches that Ribchia ba Ribchia, there was actually also Ribchia ba Ribchia that was with them. So you had this family. Reb Chia bar Rebbe, some say it was also his brother Reb Oisha bar Rebbe, and some say actually Reb Oisha, the son of Reb Chia, was also there. The story was the Asla Kamei Ger Shemol V'Leitavol. There was a convert that came to them, who was already circumcised but had not yet immersed in the mikvah. So Amalei, so he said to the convert, Shehi Kan, wait here because it was nighttime. Ad L'moch until tomorrow, v'netvelinach, and then we'll immerse you in the mikvah. So on that, the Gemara says Shma Mino Talas. From that story, you could learn three halachas that Shema Mina, first of all, you could infer from Rav Safra, who he was the third one that said that not only was there Reb Chia, and not only was there Reb Oisha Berebi, but there was even a third one, Reb Oisha Reb Chia too. So from that, you learn that Ger Tzarech Shleisha, that a convert needs to have a bezin of three people. And second of all, Shema Mina Eina Ger Ad Shemel Yitvo. Obviously, not considered Ger until you circumcise and you have the immersion, because they said, we have to immerse you. And third of all, v'shmamino eimat vilin ger b'layla. Obviously, we can infer from there also that you can't immerse a ger by nighttime because they said wait till tomorrow. Now that the Gemara asks, b'nei v'shmamino nami be'inam mumcha. Maybe you should also infer from that incident that you also need to have not just three regular people, but three that are proficient in the halachas of Geiris, just like those three individuals were big Talmid Chacham. I think Mara says, no, Dilma de Klo, maybe it just happened to be the story like that, that these Rabbanim were there. But three, that you definitely learn from that incident, from the fact that Reb Safra argued and he said, no, it wasn't just Reb Chiya, and it wasn't just Reb Isha B'Rebbe. It was actually also Reb Isha B'Reb Chiya. Why do you have to say that variable? Obviously, because he wanted to say that there was three people, because he holds that you have to have three people. You have to have a Bezdin, you have to have Mila and Trila, and you cannot do the Trila at night time. Now, related to this, that the Gemara says, Amr B'Chiya B'Rabba, Amr B'Yichnan, as we said, Ger Tzoch Gimel, a convert needs to have a Bezdin of three people. And that's because Mishpat Ksivpe, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Tezbav, Mishpat Echad Yilachem Lager. There should be one judgment for you and for the convert, which we see that the context of a ger is said regarding Mishpat, and we know that a Bezdin, a court of Jewish law, cannot be less than three people, and therefore we learn that a ger has to have Mishpat, which means to say to become a ger, he has to have been done his process in front of three people.